Welcome back to Lays with Gumption. This is episode 202, Seven Revelers at a Masquerade. Sounds like the opening to a dirty joke, but it's the title of this episode, of our podcast episode, not the episode. Anyways, we are Lays with Gumption. We recap BCTV in a flash. I am Jessica, and I'm here with...
May.
And Tatiana.
And as always, you can submit feedback. You can talk to us either... on Twitter at DCTVGumption, on Tumblr, ladiesofbegumption.tumblr.com, or you can send us your feedback via email, ladiesofbegumption@gmail.com. We normally record on Thursdays at around 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. So if you can get your feedback in before that, then we'll be sure to include it in our podcast in the feedback section. As always, you can find our episodes on a variety of different platforms, and especially want to thank the people that have found us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/DCTVGumption, where you get a little bit extra content. We talk about the premium DC TV shows, which are basically the shows that are on HBO Max, so like Peacemaker, Doom Patrol. I don't think Doom Patrol, part two hasn't come out for that yet, has it?
I don't think so, no.
Mm-mm. No. So part two of Doom Patrol, part two of Titans, there's a lot of things that were going on there. We also do a lot of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Netflix series. Coming up this week, we are doing the Harley Quinn Valentine's Day episode. And we also had requests to do The Last of Us. So we've got a variety of different content that you can find on that channel. And in addition to that, you get these episodes 24 hours in advance. So if you like want to know what we want, what we're saying as soon as possible, check us out on Patreon. DC decided that it had had enough news for the week, so I don't think I've seen anything like major news.
Not major, or this is kind of minor, but
like minor news.
Have you heard the rumors that Aquaman is like just bad? Aquaman 2 is just terrible.
Oh wow, I have not.
Yeah, I've had like that.
So I don't know about. I've seen like big screen leaks said that. I think that Jeff Schneider, whatever person, said something about that.
That's so, not good.
Yeah,
well, but I don't trust him per se. But
yeah, I don't trust
like
them.
Test screenings in general.
Yeah. It's also what they're hearing from test screenings rather than like what they themselves have experienced in their lives. So, but that's something. Like. Oh, yeah, whoever it was said that's the reason that Jason Momoa will be Lobo. Like, because Aquaman 2 is so bad, they're like, it's just a flop. It's going to be a flop. We're just going to make him Lobo.
Tanking it so that he will be to be another character.
It's funny, though, because I feel like regardless of whether it was going to do well or not, I feel like they were just not going to continue with him as Aquaman anyway, right? Like, I would still prefer a good movie, but... Somebody was also saying that, like, oh, does it really matter when the test screening said Malignant wasn't good and then it turned out to be good? But I'm like, but a lot of people also didn't like it. So I don't know. It's
yeah. Also, Malignant is not, you know, you can't compare.
It's like, not, right. It's not the same thing.
Malignant is so bad it's good. It's not like Malignant is good. It's just so bad it's good. But anyway.
And I guess like the purpose of a test screening is to test stuff. So if something doesn't test right, then they can always
fix it.
Yep. So
yeah. Very true.
I was going to add the flash news that Eric pretty much confirmed that Rick is going to be Cobalt Blue.
He confirmed it by saying nothing at all, like saying I cannot.
Right, exactly.
No, that tells you everything. And for those of you who watched the Flash podcast interview with Eric, we also had a very similar situation where we asked him about Cobalt Blue, and he was like,
"Interesting.
I see what you are doing." You know, but you know, you can see in his face that it's a yes. You can see in his face that it's happening.
If they're gonna bring him back now, it's like, what's the point? You just gotta do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
So I guess that's all the news for this week. So less news means more time to talk about our favorite show. So, of course, the format is we discuss what brought us joy, what did not bring us joy, and any feedback that we've gotten. And then at the end, we'll crown a Lady with Gumption of the Week. Tatiana's going to be our host this week, and she is going to take us through the recap and get us started.
Yes, I will. So, in this episode, which was called Something About Rogues, as soon as it wants to open.
Rogues of War.
Yes, Rogues of War. In it, Barry and Iris, you know, are continuing their baby moon. We get to see a little bit of them in Paris making the best, like, creme brulee ever. But, alas, we cannot just watch that all episode. So instead, we are interrupted with rogues gathering upgraded versions of classic rogue villains being created around town by the Red Death in search of a way to build a makeshift cosmic treadmill. In order to prevent this, and to, like, stop the very last piece from being recovered by Red Death, Barry brings in his own gang of rogues, including Chilblain, the worst idea ever, Harley Rathaway, the best idea ever, Jacko Birch, a literal daddy, and Goldface, who is at least better than Chilblain. So, everything seems to be going swimmingly with this team, but then, like, they want to be paid for their labor. How dare they? That is so disgusting. So then Barry is like, well, maybe we should work together because maybe y'all are evil. And they're like, well, maybe you suck. So there is a fight and there's a rift between them. And Iris also is being a Grumpasaurus all episode because she's afraid that babies will prevent her from winning Pulitzer Prizes. So she's like, I must win a Pulitzer Prize with this specific story of the Red Death and this cosmic treadmill. Chester, why are you not researching things faster? But then she's like, sorry about that. I realized that I was being a bit of a jerk. And Barry's like, don't worry, I will change diapers. And you will win Pulitzer Prizes. At least two, I promise. Otherwise, I will go back in time and rewrite history so that you do. Don't worry about it. So Iris apologizes to Chester.
Love a supportive husband.
Exactly. Iris apologizes to Chester. Chester's like, it's cool. You did what you had to do. And now I know things. So you've researched just hard enough. Anyway, Barry gets back with the rogue team because Iris also pep-talked him into trusting even criminals, I guess. But unfortunately, one of those criminals is not trustworthy, and they are Chilblain, and they suck, and they teamed up with Red Death because they think that Red Death is somehow going to bring back Frost, which, newsflash, is not going to happen. Chilblain, I am so sorry. So anyway, Barry fights Red Death, like, loses pretty badly because Red Death is, surprise, a speedster. And, however, the rest of the good rogues do agree that they will help stop them, because I think we technically don't know. We don't know who Red Death is yet when the time comes. So Chester comes in with the information that he has discovered, which is that all the tech for these rogues comes from Way Enterprises. And also, so weirdly, Ryan Wilder is missing. I wonder if there's a connection there. In other news, Allegra is still funking with Chester's heart, and Kion, whose name I can never remember how to say, is talking to a plant named Kesha, and also giving love advice to Allegra, who is not taking it because she would rather just run away from Chester every time she sees him. The end. What brought joy? What brought glee, if you will?
Well, glee is a strong word. But I did find myself enjoying this episode, more than I thought I was, because I logged onto Twitter very briefly and everyone's like so upset. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. But it was like I liked Rogue Team Up. I liked Barry trying to work with them in general, kind of like butting heads with everybody too, and them butting heads with each other. It's like, this is a chaotic team. They do not work well in teams, as we saw with Goldface just kind of throwing Amunet under the bus. So they're not trustworthy people. But I like the fact that Barry decides to put his trust in them because, you know, he was using them essentially to, like, get what he needs. So they were doing the same. So they all decide to trust each other. And I like that teamwork because I feel like it's been a really long time coming for us to really get a rogues team up to begin with. And it was really fun to see that finally kind of come to fruition and have Hartley be a big part of that as well. I enjoy Goldface probably more than most. He's very funny to me. He's like really dumb and goofy, you know, in that sense. So it's very entertaining. And even like him, like the whole book club thing. I mean, like, he cried over Dr. Zhivago. I did not realize he read books. So it was very nice. And then him quoting Poe. I'm like, look at Goldface out here, you know, just being the knowledgeable book person. Very surprising, very fun. And just like, even though they found out that Barry's the Flash again, it was still fun that it wasn't actually Barry revealing himself. It was just the kind of them figuring it out because of context clues. I really liked the West Allen scenes, of course. Like, their little trip to Paris was super cute. I love that they used Flash time to try to get the recipe right. Because I was like, oh my god, Iris cooked a really great dish. That's so amazing. I'm so proud. and then she speaks French. Also amazing. So it was really cute. And also their little chat in at Star Labs about Iris thinking that, like, her life is pretty much going to be over in terms of her career because she's going to be busy raising kids. And this is where, like, the teamwork comes back. It's like, Iris, like, of course not. Like, I'm here and we'll do this together and we'll continue to help each other grow, which I thought was really sweet. And also shows a very healthy relationship in that, like, life doesn't just stop when, you know, people become parents and they can continue doing the things that they want to do because they support each other while also, you know, focusing on their kids. So I thought that was really, really lovely. I was not surprised that Chilblain was the one to betray the team. So it wasn't necessarily a joy or a dislike, but it was just a fact. And, you know, it's kind of like nice to see Barry be bested by Red Death for a brief moment, because it was like a surprise. Like, the fact that it's Javicia playing Batwoman playing a speedster is like a nice twist in general. And it's like, we see Barry often using his powers, but then when he doesn't use his powers, we see how kind of quickly he gets beaten. So it'll be interesting to, like, see how that goes. But I did like the fact that Red Death really does seem like a very good threat. Like, the voice, sort of like very Zoom-like, the look, now the white streak in her hair, I don't know what's going on there, but it's kind of like just creepy because this is not the Batwoman that we know and love. And the fact that it either. Yeah. And so it's just like there's a lot going on there, and I'm really excited to see what's happening. But overall, I thought it was like a fairly decent episode in terms of, like, moving the plot forward, getting West Allen as a team, also, like, separate, doing their own individual thing, and then, you know, Iris trying to, like, get that Pulitzer, and working with Chester, because Chester's, like, the best of Team Flash at this point. So yeah, it was a decent episode.
I agree. I thought it was a decent episode. I know a lot of people were upset about it on Twitter, and I guess, like, the only thing I can say maybe why that's the case is if you thought that it was going to be supposed to be one thing and then it turns out another, because I think a lot of people were assuming that this was going to be a Wes Allen episode where Barry and Iris are, like, joined at the hip. And I think it starts out in that way, like in the first Wes Allen scene, and, you know, Barry's got to go back to CCPD and Iris is like, let me come. It seemed like it was going to be that, and then it diverged from that. So, if you were expecting that and you didn't get that, then, you know, it's like throw the whole episode away. But I do think that I agree with you. I think there's a lot of things that were in this episode that were solid. They moved the plot forward. And there was a lot in here, I think, that, especially with Barry and the Rogues, that was reminiscent or reminded me of what you may have seen in, like, comics or in DCAU. I always have, like, that image in my mind of, like, the Christmas special where, like, Barry is talking to, what is it? It's not Clock King, but the toy guy. Somebody. He was talking to one of his, like, rogues. And it was kind of like a rehabilitation kind of, you know, come on, cheer up, guy, and that kind of thing. And it kind of feels like that he had, Barry in this episode, had that kind of relationship with the rogues, that even though they're criminals and you shouldn't trust them, you know, Barry's outlook is always think the best of people, even people that have made mistakes in the past. And I think the best example of that would be Jocko, because he did start off as a villain and now he is an upstanding citizen that hates his job, but he is, like, eager to prove that he is redeemed and that he can do good things. Sliding down the scale, you have Hartley, who has established business and a boyfriend and, you know, is still a little bit temperamental, but more or less he is also redeemed. And then you slide even further down the scale to get to, like, Goldface and Chilblain. So I think that was, and there's also, like, a lot of really interesting tension there in that plot with Barry first trying to put on like the chemist role and work with this team and get them to do what he wants without giving them anything that they want. I agree. It was like really, really chaotic, but it sort of turned in like a, they flipped in like a second. Like it was almost faster than Barry the way they went from like arguing with each other about who should get the engine to all be like, well, actually we can work together just without you. And that works out fine. And then we can like fight it out later. So I thought that that was a really nice, interesting conflict. I also think that, you know, you look at the rogues and they're all metahumans plus Barry. And they is a more interesting team up and dynamic than I've seen from any version of Team Flash, I feel like, in the whole yes. series. Yeah. I felt like they all had their own separate lanes. There was no overstepping of anybody else, especially Barry. And I also feel like there wasn't any need to nerf Barry, really, in a sense, to make anybody else seem particularly heroic or good. So they all, like, stay in their lanes, and then at the end, it wasn't like, you know, they're not going to be, hopefully, not going to be hanging out at Star Labs, just doing whatever. And then also, like, when Barry had the talk with Iris, he's like, I know what I have to do. I'm like, please do not tell me he's going to reveal himself.
I thought the same.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, I know he's not going to do what I'm thinking he's going to do. So it was a nice little mini twist that it wasn't Barry that revealed it and that he wasn't going to. But Jocko was like, you have a very specific coffee order, man. So that was kind of funny.
We love perceptive rogues.
I did like the West Island that we got. I feel like they always go to Europe. I like, y'all should expand. The globe is a very wide place. They can go to Asia. They can go to Africa, Australia. Come on, West Island. Let's do something. But the fact that they're in Paris, I thought that was a great use of Candace's actual language skills to add some French in there. I thought it was very, I was so surprised when the teacher was like, oh, this is exquisite. I'm like, are you sure? Are we sure that Barry didn't make that and just put it in front of Iris? Like, what's going on? But yeah, I thought it was, and then, you know, practice like 40 times, but at least if she can do it 40 times, you know, at least one of those times is going to be a good one, so that there's hope for her and Nora and Bart yet that their mother will be able to cook a decent meal. That was like a really fun kind of moment between them, and I kind of wish it's so funny. Well, I'll save that for later. Stay on track, Jessica. So that was really nice. I also agree with you. I like the conversation, the heart-to-heart that they had in the Speed Force. I think it's a very realistic fear for Iris to have that once you have babies, then your life is over. Your individual life is over. And you're just like the mom and you're not, you don't have, you have to like put all your dreams on hold. And the idea that she may be like running out of time. I thought that was a very realistic conversation. And I also like Barry's response to it that, you know, I'm going to be here. I'm not, we've already fixed that future where I'm not there. I'm going to be present. I will be up to, you know, change diapers. And if I have to, I'll fight on 3 hours of sleep because we are in this together and you're going to get those posters. You don't have to throw away your dreams. So I thought that was a really nice conversation for them to have as a couple. And even Kyung, like I'm still enjoying her. I know like a lot of people are like, why? But I think I'm enjoying her. I think Danielle's enjoying her because it feels like Danielle's like retired. She's just happy to be here. She's happy that she made it to season 9. Even if it's not Caitlin. It's just like a, you know, a fresher kind of character. She doesn't really bother me. She doesn't really do like a lot. You know, doesn't seem like it's a strain on Danielle's acting ability, like, you know, with really hard medical terms versus like the super tough persona that Frost had trying to fit into that box. Kion is like a blank slate, so she can do whatever she wants with it and not struggle. So that's good. And barely any Cecile. I'm glad that there wasn't a need to, you know, all the mind reading Keown did with Allegra. And that was, it was still subtle. Like, it's not like overbearing or anything like that. It's just very nice. So. Oh, before I turn to Tati, other thing that I loved, well, obviously seeing Javicia, the reveal of her as Red Death, and the whole I am vengeance line, that was one line, very great. And then the other one, when Chester comes in to Iris, is like, Iris, stop the presses! To tell her about Gotham City, I thought that was cute. So, there we go.
I want to add, too, I like the death representation, like the fact Hartley... And the other meta whose name I cannot remember, I'm sorry.
I think your name was like Amara or Akara or something.
Yes. It reminded me, it was very ragdolly to me, like the aesthetic.
I don't know when we were supposed to like be introduced to her, but I'm assuming that she is a new ragdoll.
Yeah. Yeah. But like the whole conversation they were having, the standoff in ASL was well, really well done.
I also think like the Rogue Runner ones, like you were saying, like with her and Hartley, and then Jocko and Izzy Bowen having like a love connection instead of an actual. Oh, yes. I thought those were really interesting kind of matchups too. So
yeah,
and I also like that the new rogues hate Mark like we hate Mark.
We can all agree on something.
Absolutely. Speaking of the rogues, I do want to say yes, I also like Goldface, and I think that he is fun. I love them kept like harking back to like turning in his lover and like whether that affects him or not. And that he's like, you know, has a cool exterior, but like you said, cries to Dr. Zhivago. Also, Jacko is like just nice to have a wholesome criminal. He seems like a sweet guy. It makes me wonder like why is the Flash ordering coffee? That he would be like, wow, right? You have the same coffee order as the Flash.
Like, how specific does that coffee order have to be? Yeah. Like, you know, half almond milk, half, you know, whatever, 3 shots of espresso, light on the vanilla.
Right. Who knew that Barry was so high maintenance? But anyway, so I did enjoy that a lot. And yeah, overall the dynamic between them was fun. It's cool to see like a team that's just forming, that is still at odds with each other, that has to sort of like find compromises based on their personalities is more interesting than what we have had with Team Flash in recent years. And I also like seeing Barry actually as a leader, like he's sort of like the brains of the operation, if you will, and then everyone else is bringing their tech, whatever tech or power or whatever it is, to it. So that's nice. It feels like he's grown into a leadership position rather than just kind of like inheriting one, I guess. Anyway, aside from that, I agree that Ragdoll, or like the new Ragdoll, is very cool. Definitely the coolest of the Red Death robes. And it was very cool to see the ASL conversations, discussions. Red Death, still very cool. Love when like we saw the reveal that it was Ryan. Even though I feel like they could have done, I mean, I guess there was, like, no way, like, of course it was going to be Ryan, but if they had done a better job of hiding that, then there would be a better reveal. I guess that's on the other side, but still, whatever. I'm just saying, like, in the moment, it's great. If only it could be just as great outside of the moment, outside of the show. So anyway, I did really like the little West Island beats that we did get. The opening was cute for them. Did love hearing Iris speak French. And I was concerned at first, like, when I was like, oh no, Iris seems upset again. I was like, oh god, what's happening? But then I loved when she did reveal what the issue was, and Barry was, like, very supportive, and they were just very sweet together. So, like, I love that we're getting to see Iris, or Grant and Candace's chemistry blooming, if you will, blossoming again after being, you know, strangled in recent times. So yay for them, living their best life. I also did, like, in the first episode, I was just too annoyed, or the previous episode, I was too annoyed by how they were handling the Keown situation to appreciate the character, but in this episode, she was a fun addition. She's not too overbearing, like, of a presence, and she's, like, she's funny and quirky in a way that the Team Flash desperately needs, right? Because everyone's just kind of doing the same thing. So, yeah, that was nice and different. And I didn't even realize
that there was barely any Cecile. Or even, like, I don't remember even seeing Cecile. So, yay. That I agree. That is great. What a breath of fresh air. although, you know, maybe at some point Joe should tell his kid, his daughter, that he's leaving. Well, one of his daughters. Anyway, and also taking away the sister that she never sees. So that'll be interesting. So yeah, overall, I thought it was like a good episode. It moved the plot forward. It wasn't filler. So it moved the plot forward, but it didn't feel clunky, and it also didn't feel like it had more of the energy back that, you know, we have been missing recently. So it wasn't anything outstanding. It didn't blow my mind, but I had a good time. I wasn't bored, and I wasn't mad. So that's a big improvement. What did not spark joy?
Mark. Well, before I get to Mark, the Telegra stuff is not necessarily a dislike. I just don't know why they're dragging it out, because I don't need to see it being dragged out. Like, you guys just need to talk. We kissed. Let's be adults and have a conversation. Yeah, that's all I'll say about that. Because I especially felt bad for, like, Chester. He's just like, everybody's just being weird. when it comes to Mark, I feel like he's still so extra about his feelings regarding Frost and trying to get her back that, like, I thought he was really dumb for trying to trust someone for, like, who clearly wanted something from him.
Dumb. You thought Barry was dumb for trusting Mark.
Well, both, but, you know, Barry trusts, that's what he does. You know, he's always forgivable because his heart is in the right place. Mark's heart is not in the right place in general, most of the time. So I feel like Mark was just, like, he just continues to frustrate me. Like, even when, the new ragdoll was like, what's with his costume? I was like, yes, exactly. So, I mean, it's nothing specific, but it's just, like, Mark in general. But I do feel like he fit in more in this episode, like, with regards to what he was doing than in the previous one. So I feel like if he continues to work with Red Death, that would be more interesting to me. But I feel like where he is now, he doesn't really, like, I don't really think he vibes with Team Flash in the way that the show is trying to make him vibe with Team Flash. Even if he gets over the whole them not helping him try to get Frost back, it's still like there's just something missing there with him when it comes to the group dynamic. And I guess in general, like, I would have thought that we would get more Joe, Cecile, like, what's the verdict on what they're going to do? Because I feel like they had that conversation. We didn't really get a conclusion to that conversation. And then Cecile's back and Star Labs kind of just, like, hanging out. So I thought that it was weird that she didn't even mention it to anybody. And I'm okay with having less seal, but I just feel like we also don't need to prolong that particular story if Joe is going to leave anyway, and we know this, you know?
That's a good point. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. With, like, West Allen, as nice as it was to see, I like seeing their little baby moon. I like that we're getting to see the baby moon adventures and not it just be something that happens, like, off screen. And although there is less Iris overall in this episode, but again, I think that's because I thought it was going to be one thing and it turned out to be another. So that's not, you know, it's like slight no joy, but not something that made or broke the episode for me. But I think my point for that was, I wish that as a series, we had more of that sprinkled throughout, of them having these little dates or little adventures in the midst of a show going on. Because if you think about it, I feel like they only dated for half a season and then they got married. So, like, you know, he confessed season one, she confessed season two, like episode 20. By the end of season two, they're like, yeah, we both like this. And then he goes back and he changes the timeline. Season three is an alternate universe. It's the first time he asked her out. And then when they get back to the main timeline, they're dating for maybe five or six episodes before we find out that she's going to die. And then immediately Barry's like, you got to move in together. And then I got to marry you like right now. So it seems like we, even though that they've been a part of each other's lives and part of each other's lives in the story, in the show for a long time, and you feel that connection between them because of Grant and Candace's chemistry, it would be nice to have more cute moments, more dating moments. And we had them sporadically, like after they got married, like, you know, a dinner date here or there. But a lot of times it was them going to some island off screen and then not being in the rest of the episode. So it's, you know, once you get it and you're like, oh man, I see what I've been missing. You're like, why couldn't we have done this for all times? So that's just kind
because
of like
they should, that like it's possible to do it.
Yeah, it's like not clearly impossible. You know how to do it. Why did you wait until now to do it? So that was something. Mark, obviously, it's just, it wasn't a surprise that he turned on the team, but it's still like he was obviously the weakest link in this group to join up with. And you can tell like by the end that he's like, oh, I messed up, when, you know, the grass was not greener on the Red Death side. But yeah, I just, it's like trying to make fetch happen, and I just don't care about him like that. I feel like this, if, you know, if we talk about, compare it to the Barry situation where Barry lost Iris and, you know, he's also quite irrational. But I like Barry. I've invested in Barry. I've spent a lot of time with Barry. I don't have that investment with Mark, and barely have that investment with Frost to attach to Mark. So, yeah, I don't like spending a lot of time, especially because, like, when you think about it, like, say he succeeds and he brings her back, would she like that, all the stuff that he's done to bring her back? The fact that he practically killed her sister, who she was created essentially to protect, to bring her back? Like, you think that she's going to be like, thank you? I don't think so. So, yeah. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head, so I'm going to stop here. But there wasn't, yeah, I don't think there was like too much to dislike, but they're just kind of like the big plots.
Yeah, I mean, I see, this is what I was saying last time. This is why I couldn't buy the plot of the second episode when they were like, oh, Mark, you're family. You're part of this team, so blah, 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 blah. I was like, no, he's not. He clearly does not care about this team. He's not part of this team. He will sell this team for, you know, a quarter. So I, yeah. So when that happened, I was like, wow, I'm so not even disappointed. I am neither surprised nor disappointed. I am just nothing, because it is so stupid and I hate Mark and I want him to go. And why was he the character that got upgraded to a series regular for this final season? Did we need that? No, we did not. Should we have done Harley Brathaway? Yes, we should have. So anyway, hate to see it. And he was just like the one, like the dead weight in the Rogues team, and just pulling down the season's average. But anyway, outside of that, I do feel like I would like to see, I want Iris to get to enjoy herself more. Like, even when she's enjoying herself, she's still worried. So I'm like, can we please have just like good times for Iris? Is what I would like to see. And I think I also, like, I think y'all warned me in advance that there wasn't actually that much West Allen, so I wasn't disappointed when I watched. But based on what people had said about it beforehand, I was expecting more West Allen and more Iris. So I think, like, I think that also was, like, maybe just more generous with the episode from the beginning if I had never thought that there was going to be an extra amount. But it's not like there was anything there that was, like, taking away from Iris or taking away from West Allen that made me mad. It's just, I just want to see some more Baby Moon. I just want to see some more, you know, good times. So anyway, so not terrible, but not, you know, particularly exciting. And yes, I 100% agree about the whole Allegra and Chester thing. Like, they're trying to make it, like, give us some reason why Allegra is pulling away from Chester. Like, I guess, to factor her abandonment
issues and like, oh, she's a daffodil, like whatever. And I was like, I don't really believe it. Like, I don't see Allegra has done a great job of treating the team like they are her family. Like, she was just saying, like, Frost is like my sister, and like now I've lost her, and like whatever, whatever, whatever. So like, I don't see why a romantic relationship would be any different. Like, I don't know. Like, I know that there's always like the whole like, oh no, I don't want to ruin our friendship, but she's like not. She is ruining their friendship by ignoring Chester and making him look like some weird predator or something. That's
it's like she's doing the walk of shame every time she sees him. She's like hand over her face, like, oh my god.
Yeah, exactly. So it feel like the normal, like, you know, you can't compare it to like Barry and Iris back in season one or whatever, with Iris being like, my best friend, let's do everything together except for make out, you know. Like, whereas Allegra's like, let's make out every time that something happens, but then let me be real weird about it.
Said she didn't want to ruin the friendship, that would have made more sense because they have been friends for a while.
Yeah. So, if that had been right, if that was her reason, then that makes sense. But also, the way she's behaving does not follow through with that at all, because the way she's behaving is not like a friend would behave. So, I don't know. I feel like the idea of Chester and Allegra was cute, and I don't have a problem with it. But the way they're doing it is like the least romantic way that they can do it. So, okay, we'll see what happens. But that's pretty much it. I mean, I really like I was saying before, I wish that they had somehow been able to keep it under wraps, that it was going to be, that woman was Red Death. Obviously they couldn't, because Red Death is got to be a bat and it's not going to be Batman. So like, I get it, but it was like, so like, we saw photos and everything, like we knew it was going to be her, and in the show we're acting like it's not. So perhaps maybe it should be the reverse. Instead of us not knowing, because obviously there was no way we weren't going to know, we should have gotten to see the Ryan point of view first. You know, like, I don't really need the mystery of who Red Death is, and then, oh, it's Ryan, and then maybe you'll tell us in a monologue later what happened. Let's just see it, right? And then get excited about what that's going to mean. So there you go. That is that on that. Do we have feedback?
We do. So we have Sonia, who says, hey, ladies, can't believe I missed getting my feedback for last week's episode. I was surprised to like a Panda Baker-centric episode as much as I did, but Keone is much better than Caitlin or Frost, and I always love seeing Annie Nientis again. Now on to this week's feedback. It was so cute that the chef liked Barry and Iris' creme brulee, and then Barry was like, do you think she knows we tried this recipe 40 times in Flash Time? LOL. I don't care about Chester and Allegra, I just get them off my screen. That is rare for Sonia to not like a ship. I feel like any like cookie crumble little ship that we, like, even like Luke and Mary is like, yay, mm-hmm. crumbs, but she's like, no.
But that goes to show you that the bar is so low for them that they don't care.
Keon talking to the plant was so cute. She reminds me of Layla, who Danielle P played in Sky High, aka one of the only times I've liked her acting. I feel like that's what essentially what this character is. Like,
and that's what they're going for.
I want to have an easy season. And he's like, here, play Sky High. Okay. I can do that. Who is Michelle Amar character? Okay, that's the new ragdoll. Amar is her name. Iris said she wrote an article about her last year, but I don't remember her at all. No one does. Yay for more Barry and Iris investigating and also working with Hartley and other rogues to take down these rogues. Love seeing Iris take charge at Star Labs. It's great to see her in a leadership role. Jocko being super jaded in his job as a barista was hilarious. Love Hartley so much, and he was a good chemistry with so much of the cast. I wish he could have been a regular character. LMAO at Carver accidentally blurting out that Goldfish cried over reading a book, and then Goldfish was like, you were told that in confidence. Book club will remain a safe space. Barry almost saying speed and then backtracking, saying CSI, I know how. Poor Iris thinking that she can't break a big story before being pregnant and being a mom. It'll never happen. And Barry reassuring her, so sweet. Laughs at Jocko realizing Barry's a flash of his coffee order. Time to light this match is literally the worst catchphrase. Please don't let Jocko say it again, Eric, I beg of you. Nice to see Michelle and Hartley talking in ASL to each other. Jocko and Izzy flirting with each other was so weird, as was her just taking him down and then still flirting with him and being weird. Luke Fox reference, which you could have seen cameras on screen, but it's cool to hear his name again. Izzy and Michelle making fun of Mark in his stupid unzipped jacket. Javisi is back and can't wait to see what happens with her character. And then we have Swara, who says, hello, ladies. Wow, love this week's Flash. This is what we wanted the entire run of the show. Barry building dynamics with the morally complicated rogues and having intrigue for when he would involve them in saving the day, It was super compelling to watch and captured one of the best aspects of Flash stories. Hartley was awesome, and Andy Mantis does a great job that I am so mad he hasn't been a regular on the show the entire time. It should have been him and Cisco as the main members of Team Flash. Ugh. Sheer lack of building up the rogues through the show has been immensely frustrating in contrast, but seeing it here was great. Oh my god, Javicia slash Ryan's reveal as Red Death. We knew it was coming, but I'm so happy for her to continue Ryan's story as we find out what happened to her as Batwoman and why Red Death is here. And of course, the West Allen leadership and teamwork here was firing on all cylinders, and I can't wait to see both Candace and Grant interact with Javicia on screen. Thank you, Swara. And that is all.
That was beautiful. And that's it? We got nothing else?
All we got Lady of Gumption to crown.
That's yeah, but I meant we got no one else kept sending us feedback. Y'all are slacking. It's time for you to send your feelings to us. Okay, but yes, let's discuss any predictions we may have and then our Lady with Gumption. Do we have any predictions?
Oh, someone, I think it was at West Palace on Twitter. I think they're the one that said it. From like the preview of next week's episode where, you know, someone like is knocking on Iris's door and like Red Death is threatening Barry. So you're like, oh my God, the Rose are going to kidnap Iris. But what if it's actually our like present day Ryan, who is like, something is weird is happening. I don't know. And she and Iris work together and find Red Death that way. I like that theory. That's a good one.
Okay. That is a good theory. I support it.
That is, you know what? I do like that because I'm trying to recall the little video Javicia and Candace did on for TikTok, right? Did she have the white streak in her hair? She had the regular Batwoman outfit on,
right? She had the regular Batwoman outfit on and regular hair, I'm pretty sure. Okay.
So, yes, I will. I like that. I hope that happens.
Okay.
I don't have anything because my brain is empty.
I got nothing else either. But I do have, well, actually, do I have a Lady with Gumption? Do we have a Lady with Gumption other than Iris?
I think it's just Iris. It's got to be Red Death, though. Like,
oh, Red Death, that's true. Red Death is a lady. She does have the gumption.
Barry on his ass. Like, how can you not love
that's
that?
That's true. She did what she had to do. I mean, we support her.
And the way she, like, manhandled Mark pretty much. Like,
yeah.
You're not running my show, sweetheart.
Women's rights and women's wrongs. So, yeah. Red Death.
We support.
Red Death is our Lady with Gumption. Yay! You guys can send feedback as always to ladieswgumption@gmail.com or ladieswgumption.tumblr.com if you want to send us some asks. And we will be back later this evening with Harley Quinn thoughts special, the Valentine's Day special. So woot woot. Thank you all and good time of day.
Bye everybody.
Bye.